The following program deals with a controversial subject. The theories expressed are not the only possible interpretation. Viewers are invited to make a judgment based on all available information.
And all of America will have eyes on this young man, Ryan Hall, who had such a fantastic debut here last year. 2.824 went on after that to win the American Trials in New York in November.
All right, welcome to episode, I guess, viewing, or I guess show number 5, as I mumble my words here, the Mike and Ira Show. What's going on, Mr. Ira? What's happening today?
Oh, not much. Just a lot of exciting American action recently. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I am excited for this show. We got a lot of good people on today. We got Zap Fitness with Brendan O'Keefe and a little marathon preview. We also have Ariana Lambie, fresh off of her career at Stanford, talking about what's up with her in the future.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But I think we're going to start off here talking about the London Marathon. Obviously, that was the topic of the week. You know, great field that they had out there in London. They had Martin Leal there, Sammy Wanjura. We had Garimi. We got Ryan Hall. We got Felix Limo, Hendrik Rimala, just a host of characters out there. And they went out at an absolutely silly pace, 14:21 for their first 5K, 102:17 for the half.
Cranking.
It was just, it was pretty nuts.
Yeah, they ran real fast, the benefit of pacers, and this was a true, almost not a time trial, but this was a true test of if you can keep up, you're going to do well, okay? And it wasn't a battle of really of racing until late in the race. They just went out there and absolutely hammered.
No, for sure. I mean, it was unbelievable. I woke up at 4:45 in the morning.
I did not wake up.
I logged on WCSN, providing us with the free coverage here in U.S. and Canada, which was great.
But I did not log on to WCSN.
And I think I was 15 minutes late, but. But, you know, still caught some of it. The coverage wasn't great. I think one Sam Fletcher told us a few times that the coverage was very bad.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, it was better than nothing. I was psyched to get to see the race, and they were just going at an absolutely absurd pace, as I said before.
They are insanely fast. Okay, Ryan Hall ran the fastest marathon ever for an American-born citizen.
Correct.
Okay, because Kenucci was faster than him, but as we know, Kenucci was not born in America.
Correct.
He came over, washed dishes, and got his citizenship eventually.
Yes.
Okay, so Ryan Hall ran the fastest American-born marathon ever, and in most people's minds, the fastest American marathon ever. He ran unbelievably fast. As Let's Run pointed out, he was on 25 mid-pace through 25 miles, and he just kind of faded a little bit, you know, the last 1.2.
205 mid-pace.
No. Hold on, give me a second here, but his... He was on what? He was on world record pace in the beginning.
Yes, okay.
Okay, and as Les Brown pointed out, let me show you here as I look it up. As they pointed out, he was on 205.49 pace at the 25-mile mark.
Pace.
Okay, and he did fade to 206.17. But if he had kept that up, he's running 205.49.
Yeah, I mean, nonetheless, the guy 206.17 is pretty astonishing. You know, you and I both talked a little bit about it beforehand. We said... You know, we both talked to each other. What do you predict you're gonna run? I said I kind of threw it out there. I said 206.34 or something absurd like that, and you kind of laughed at me. And I don't know if it was even a serious prediction, but at the end of the day, the kid went out there and he did it.
And he cranked, and we loved it. Which bodes the question: is Ryan Hall the best marathoner? He's the best time-wise, an American-born, but is he the best marathoner in U.S. history?
Well, of course he is. If he has the fastest time, how could he not be? Well, I guess. Kenucci, if you're not counting Kenucci, how can you not count him? Ryan Hall says he counts him. Ryan Hall says he's an American. Ryan Hall doesn't care. The guy ran 205.38 as an American.
All right, well, let me ask you this then. Okay, we're counting Kenucci. We count Ryan Hall. We got a bunch of others hidden in our bag of marathoners over here. Whoop, whoop, it's right there. Okay, is Ryan Hall the best marathon in American history?
Well, I guess if we're counting Kenucci, he can't be considered the best marathoner in American history because he's not as fast as Kenucci, and he hasn't won major marathons. I mean, Khalid Kenucci won the greatest marathon in the history of the world. He beat Gabor Selassie and Turgot head-to-head in the London Marathon.
But he didn't win the Olympics.
But you know what? The Olympics are... second to fields like London. I mean, in terms of of actual prestige and what people probably are going for, sure, maybe they are a bigger and more important stage. But in terms of difficulty level, it is more difficult to win the London Marathon than it is to win the Olympics. And we got an email we posted on the front of our website, I think sums it up, from our buddy Joel out in Iceland, sums it up perfectly. You know, the London Marathon can assemble a field of highly paid Africans, you know, as many as money can buy.
Nope.
And yes, they can. You can't say they can't.
You can keep going, but I not only am in hating this conversation, I must disagree with you, and I will disagree.
Well, you can disagree all you want, but at the end of the day, the fact is that whether you want to say yes or no, it doesn't matter. The fact is that the London Marathon can pay as many Africans
right.
as they want.
That's fine. But here's where you're missing out. In a London Marathon is a fast, fast race. And with pace setters, it does, you know, go towards, or it does really taper towards, a certain group of runners.
Yeah, that's the fastest runners.
Well, you know what, that's like saying
the fastest
when
running.
Steve Holman used to crank out tremendous 1,500 times as he'd go to Europe, he'd cruise along, and he'd run the top times in America, and then he'd come to the Olympic trials and he wouldn't make the team. And you probably can't argue that Steve Holman is the best American, you know, mile of his day, because he wasn't, because he couldn't make top three in the trials. And these guys, although
Ryan
can,
Hall's proved that he can make top
right,
three in the trials. He came and demolished a field of the best Americans.
Right, but you're not. The point is, this marathon, I guess, this is my point. This marathon here is awesome, and it's fast, but it's not the truest race. A true, true race is when you go out, there's no pace setters, there's no advantage.
And Ryan Hall's proven he can do that.
Yes, I understand that. But the London Marathon, you kind of got to negate that. That's why I don't think Khalid Kanucci's the best.
Well,
okay, because he won that, but he didn't show up when it was Olympic time. He didn't win a medal. He didn't even make the Olympics.
First of all, remember that he didn't make the Olympics in 2004 because he wasn't eligible to compete. You know what
well,
I'm saying?
Well,
he didn't have
right.
a citizenship.
I guess it's too bad, but still, what people look at is top a marathon, basically is marathon titles in the Olympics. If you win the Olympics, you're
well, maybe
gone.
You look at that,
Everybody,
but that's not
that's,
what I
that's
look
the
at.
That's the biggest race in every four
then why
years?
Are there so many people on message boards everywhere saying that Ryan Hall's the best American runner of all time?
Because they don't look at history.
But you just said people don't look at that. They clearly do.
Yes, they look at the Olympics, okay? Ryan Hall has the potential to be the top marathoner in American history, but you can't say he's the best after three marathons. Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you who I have. Frankie Shorter, top marathoner in American history. Here's why. First of all, he won two medals in the Olympic marathon. He won a gold and he won a bronze, and he took down many fast Africans. Africans are cranking them, and beat them then.
Can I ask you one thing? Mm-hmm. What's Frank Shorter's marathon PR?
Well, it is 210 mid, I think.
210.30.
210.30.
Exactly. 30. Exactly 210 mid. So you're telling me that a guy who would be over 3/4 of a mile behind Ryan Hall on both their best days is better than him?
I will say that, first of all, times back then aren't as fast as they are now. You have to go with it there.
That's
okay.
Right. Times back any time are never as fast as they are now because runners
right.
get better.
That's right. But Frank Shorter won when it counted. Frank Shorter won when it counted. Frank Shorter won a gold medal. Frank Shorter won a bronze medal. He's the 4-time. I'm going to mispronounce it. You have to help me here. The
Fakura
champion, back when that was one of the big, big marathons of the year. He won it 4 years in a row. He was ranked first in the marathon.
I agree.
3 years in a row.
Frank Shorter, however,
and you know what?
Didn't
he
have...
was the head of the anti-doping, so you know he was clean.
Know who else was running marathons back in the day and being successful? Guys who weren't that good. Okay?
Well, I'll tell you this, though.
There was not a heavy stream of, you know, 15 to 20 Africans who just entered any race, and any one of them could do well on that day.
But there were Africans, and there was a lot of them. And I'll tell you, before Frank Shorter won the gold, Ethiopian in 64.
Okay, you're talking about one guy, Abebe Bikila.
No, he didn't win in 68. There's clearly, here's the point, there were Africans then.
Yes, but it was not an African-dominated event like it is now.
It clearly was.
No, when I say an African-dominated event, I mean that almost every year there are 25 Africans, 30 Africans who go under a time in a marathon that no American reaches.
My point is, Frank Shorter won.
Okay.
He won. Ryan Hall can do it. I'm not
saying... Name this.
Ryan Hall's got the potential. He's got only 3 marathons under his belt. Ryan, Frank Shorter ran a lot of marathons. But as of right now, Ryan Hall, I would put him at possibly top 3 for sure, maybe 3rd behind Khalid. That's where I put him.
My point is, who is Kouachi Moshishanti? You have no idea who he is.
No, who is he?
He finished 2nd in the Olympic marathon in Barcelona. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but you know what?
Why? Because it doesn't matter.
He didn't win a gold. Win a gold.
Okay, but you're telling me finishing high in the Olympics is more important. You don't know who Josiah Thorwangi is from South Africa.
Of course I do.
You only know because you're looking at it right here.
How about Huang Hu Cho?
Yeah,
he beat your little Spaniard.
This is my point. You don't know any of these guys because they weren't that great.
But they were obviously unbelievable
marathoners on that day.
They won a race with no pacers. And they got out there and they beat it on the hardest. When everybody brings it, everybody who runs a marathon 72 ran it, and Frank Shorter beat them.
You're right. I guess last point I'll make, I'll let you go in there again, is that when you step on the line at London, there's only 5 or 10 guys who even have an opportunity to win the race because that's how advanced that race is.
Because of the
astonishing pace. And Ryan Hall proved he's one of those guys. That makes him, in my mind, better than anybody else out there besides those guys who are capable of running that pace. Because it basically says, if we want to make a marathon a certain way, we can make it a way so that only 10 guys in the world have an opportunity to win. At the Olympic marathon, it won't be like that.
Ryan Hall's unbelievable. I'll give it to you. But he's not top 3, in my mind, in American history. We'll see, though.
All right. Well, we got to take a break here, Mike and Ira Show. Hit us up at our email, MikeAndIraShow@gmail.com or at our website, MikeAndIraShow@blog.blogspot.com. We got a lot coming up here. We're going to have an update from Zap Fitness. We're going to talk with Brendan O'Keefe and Caroline Creddy down there. We got Ariana Lambie waiting for us on the line here, and we'll get back with you guys right after this break.
All right, this is the Mike and Ira Show here on iTunes. You can also check us out on letsrun.com. You can also check us out on flowtrack.com. Hit us up at mikeandirashow@gmail.com or just check out our website. We're actually streaming. We're not streaming live, but you can check out a video of us. We're trying to keep up with the world. You can see what we look like. You can see how I talk with my hands. You can see it all on our Blogspot. Check it out. Blogspot.com. Mike and Ira Show. Anyways, let's go back to emails. This is our next segment here. And I got 4 that I've taken from our email account here. And I'll throw the first one out. First one is from Ethan in Portland. Uh-oh, Mike. Here comes Lopez Lamont. 3:39 is a great opener. Are you sticking with your pick of Manzano in 3rd? Ethan, you better believe I am. Although Lopez is only a 2nd behind Manzano and coming up quicker than I expected, but I gotta stick with my guns.
Yeah, no, first race of the season, Lopez looking good. Know who else was in that race? Your boy,
Jay Riley, right back there. 3rd in the 5K.
Tagging Kevin and Solinsky, that whole group, looking good.
All right, secondly, this is from Kevin in New Hampshire. Luke Piscedra ran sub 850, 846 to be exact, but received no love everywhere.
Let me take this
How
one for
good
you.
Is Luke Piscedra?
He's good, but he's not as good as Chris Derrick, who went through the 3200 in his 5K in 852.
He is good.
Okay.
You are right.
852.
Luke Piscedra, though, good talent, did good. Win in a he's giant good. Mile field at the Boston Indoor Games.
He's going out to Oregon.
I won a dollar on that race.
Okay.
All right, next one Gambling. From, here we go. Ira, you little white guy. Who is the better non-African runner, Craig Mottram or Ryan Hall? And are they top 2? Love Biggert in Connecticut.
Ah, Biggert, our buddy down there in the CT. Craig Mottram, Ryan Hall, gosh, off the top of my head, putting me on the spot. I can't think of anybody better, any white guys better than that.
Who's better, though? Who's the better white guy?
Right now, I got to say Ryan Hall is better right now. As of today, Ryan Hall is a better runner. Craig Mottram talks a lot. Ryan Hall gets it done.
I say Mottram. He's accomplished more. Here we go. Boys, love the show, but who cheated worse, Bill Belichick or Rosie Louise? Signed, Pete Rose.
Oh, Bill Belichick didn't cheat at all. Belichick just misinterpreted the rules.
Misinterpreted. I'm going to have to say Belichick, man. God love him, but 3 championships? Cheated him all of them, possibly? He's a winner.
You're not a Patriots fan. All right. So We're going to get into a little update here from our crew down in Zap Fitness. We got Brendan O'Keefe on the line, and we're going to talk with him a little bit. He's got a great training group down there in North Carolina.
Brendan O'Keefe is on the line with us from Zap Fitness. What's up, Brendan?
How's it going, Mike?
Going good. Listen, give us an update on this. Is the first time we've talked to you. Tell us all about Zap Fitness. What's going on down there?
All right. Well, not too much. We're all getting ready for the spring season. We've had a couple early season openers, and the big one right now is Caroline's getting ready for the Olympic trials coming up this weekend in the marathon. But yeah, things are going well. Spring, getting warm.
Beautiful. Now, for those of you who listening on here who have never known about Zap Fitness, don't know what it's about, Brendan, give us a quick overview of what is Zap Fitness, how do you get in there, who are you guys, what's happening?
Okay, it was, it's a non-profit training center for Olympic hopefuls and elite distance runners. Basically, the goal is just to improve American distance running. And we have, like, camps, running camps in colleges and high schools throughout the year, which helps fund kind of like our travel budget and health insurance and all that.
Okay.
And there's about, right now there's only 7 year-round athletes that mm-hmm. live here, but they're funded by all that. And it was started in 2001 by Zika and Andy Palmer.
Nice. So people like Ira and I could go down there, half-ass runners. We can go down there and run with you guys for, a week or so? Is that what happens, an adult running camp?
Yeah, there's adult running camps.
There's 2 1-week ones in the summer. But we do have just sort of random people come down, pay $10 a night or so, and stay with a group of friends to have a good week of training or so. So it works out well for things like that.
Yeah, you guys, that'd be a better option because the adult running camps are a little. I mean, we've got all kinds of speakers, Bill Rogers and stuff come down.
Yeah.
They're a little more pricey, but we have got open rooms. We've got 24. Beds, and you know, people just come back down and crash every now and then and train here for a little while because we've got some amazing trails to train on.
And for those of you who missed it, that was Caroline Creddy on the line with Brendan O'Keefe. She's Caroline's an Olympic marathon trials qualifier. She's going to be running down at Boston at the trials in a couple days, and she ran I think 2:43 out at the Twin Cities Marathon.
Yeah. Now, Caroline, before we get to you, Brendan, what's going on? Where are you guys going this weekend? I know you're all over the Zap Fitness website. You just won the second second annual Blue Shoes invite in 3:43. Great time. Kyle King just ran a PR. You ran your first 5K in 7 years. Is it just you? Is anyone else doing anything? What's going on? Where are you guys going this week?
We got a little bit of a break right now. Before our next big meet. I'm going out to Stanford and Oregon. I'm going to stay out there on the West Coast for a week, and I know a lot of the other guys are. I think John's running a 10K. Thomas will run a 5K out there. Kyle might be running the 5K at Mount Sac this weekend, so I think he's the next big race.
Yeah, that's what it says in your website here. Now, how many guys have qualified, have hit the B standard for the trials?
Let's see. I think we've all hit the B standard.
Okay. I guess how many people have hit the A standard then? Do you have anyone who's hit the A standard yet?
I think Kyle might be, he might be right on the A. He's run 13:33, so
yeah.
I think he's got the B, but
he's right there.
Something that we're pretty sure is going to make it. Everybody else is on the line, so, you know, with any other Olympic trials, the times that a lot of us have run would make it in, but with a kind of upswing in U.S. distance running, you never know what's going
to
happen.
Right, for sure, and just to be there is a big part of it, and we're psyched that you're there, Brent. I didn't realize you hit the B. Congratulations, that's fantastic. So let's move on to Carolyn here. Carolyn, how excited are you for the Olympic trials? What's going through your brain right now?
I'm really excited. It will be my second marathon. I've only run one other at Twin Cities. And it'll be pretty amazing. I've never run with 130 other women.
Yeah, no kidding.
And we're also close together. I mean, there's probably 30 that have run within a minute of my time. So, and it's very interesting. I'm really excited. I love Boston. Love the atmosphere up there. So I think it'll be good.
And so, Caroline, at Twin Cities, what can you kind of take us through? What was that course like? How do you think it compares to Boston? And you know, what maybe have you done differently in your training the second time around here, getting ready for your second marathon?
Twin Cities was, you know, point-to-point course, real windy and and had some hills. So really there's no comparison to the trials course, which is unfortunate. But and in terms of training, I've trained a lot on just more flatter, worked on 180 turns, and things like that, trying to get a feel for that, because that's going to be an interesting part of the course is all the sort of switchbacks up and down the river. So Twin Cities was a great experience. It was pretty hot that day, but it was still a great race. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully the weather cooperates.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, Carolyn, you are standout would be a bad word to describe how good you are in Division III, multi-time national champion. You were you're the defending 5 and 10K champion outdoor. You basically dominated D3. How do you feel going from D3 to basically being a pro athlete? You're following the likes of Andy Rock and Nick Simmons, a bunch of other guys who are starting to bridge that gap. Do you see a trend happening? Are you excited about it? Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm always the one over here, big supporter of all the people who can try and bridge the gap. I've got a little more work to do, I think, than Nick Simmons or Andrew Ross. But I appreciate being mentioned. It's definitely a big, you sort of go from being a big fish in a small pond to a really small fish pretty quickly, which is a different experience, but it's worked out well so far. But I love it. I'm a big. I cheer on the Division III people down here. They sort of make fun of me every time I see one that has a good performance. I'm all about it.
And Caroline, what was it like going? You're obviously primarily a 5 and 10K runner in college, because obviously there's no marathon in college. But what was it like, kind of making that adjustment towards, you know, increasing your mileage, I assume? Kind of bring us through that. What is your mileage at, and how did your body kind of adapt to that? Were there any injuries along the way, things of that nature?
Well, I actually respond really well to, I did up the miles, and it worked out well. I've had a couple of Achilles injuries since I've been at DAP, which have sort of, thrown me back a little bit. But in terms of marathoning, it was sort of a natural progression. And my coach thought, why not? I think he was of the mindset that, people, women and guys, can both start marathoning at an earlier age than previously thought. Especially since women, we, peak at a later age. And so a lot of women don't start very early.
Right.
And I think we both decided, why not? I'm a really good aerobic runner.
Mm-hmm.
You're a pacing genius, too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that was sort of the idea of, 23 years old, give it a shot. Maybe take a couple years and step back, but at least get a couple under my belt to make some big improvements.
All right, beautiful. Great answer. Brendan, what I want to know, what's the big – you're a very fast man – contrary to belief, people may not know this, but Brendan and I, as freshmen in high school, had the top freshman cross country times in the state, ahead of Ryan Fenton. He was the second. Anyways, Brendan, what's a big workout you're doing this week? Do you know what you're doing on the track, or give us some times you're going to hit it in a workout this week?
We're actually just getting going on track stuff. I've had, I think, two so far this outdoor season. Pete's really big on pushing the strength for as long as he can, before we start working on turnover. But I've got a track workout this Saturday, I think. And I think it'll open with 1,000, so I'm not sure what he'll have it at. But I know last year I did a workout around this time. It usually starts out like 224,000 and then a bunch of 300s, something like that.
Wow.
Like 300, 100s.
Rolling. Beautiful. And last thing, man, before we let you go, last time we saw you in the winter here, your hair had a little red twinge to it. What color is it now?
Yeah, I dyed it back, it was a speed streak. I figured I'd wait until the end of the season to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Allison
Grace did it for you, I believe, and does she still have the twinge, or did you guys both go back to the norm?
Oh, she will never go back to the norm.
Allie is dyed hair, true.
Yeah, she's got three or four colors going on right now.
Now, Carolyn, if you run a big PR here, will you dye your hair? Will you do something drastic?
Oh, yeah. Me?
Yeah.
You know, I've been hoping to get a new tattoo here so I could go for one of those if something great happens.
Let's say you break 239. Will you get one then?
Oh, yeah.
All
I
right.
just need a little more.
We're gonna hold. All right, we're gonna hold. If you,
all right,
two,
I'll get one all over my back.
240.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's on air.
Yeah, if you break 233.12, will you get a? If you improve by 2 seconds, will you get a tattoo?
You know what? I've been dying to do something like that. So
get the mic. I want, if you break 239, I want Mike and Ira Show tattooed on your back.
You know what? You got a deal. I'm not kidding.
All right, good deal. It's set in stone.
Caroline, one last question. This will be, when are you going to, I think you're going to be racing Michelle Rourke, an old college rival again.
Well, first of all, she wasn't a rival.
Well, teammate.
Take her down. We want you to kill her. Beat her.
But also, unfortunately, she has had a horrible hamstring difficulty, so she is not running.
That's too bad.
Well, you got her then. Nice work. Congratulations.
Well, good luck, Caroline. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, Brendan, thank you.
Thanks.
2 minutes again. This is Zap Fitness, located down in North Carolina. You guys should all get down there. Check it out. $10 a night. Go hit it. You can help these guys make it to the Olympic trials, and who knows, maybe incite their Olympic dreams.
All right, back here, Mike and Ira Show. We just heard from the Zap Fitness crew down there in North Carolina and heard from Caroline Creddy, who is a Olympic Women's Marathon Trials qualifier. She ran, as we just heard, 2:43 out there at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Marathon.
And she is, for those of you who care, she is the youngest qualifier. She's the same age as Brooke Wells, both 23. Just kidding. Changed it. She's the second youngest, Michelle Gallagher, 22 out of Arizona. Congratulations, Michelle. All right, great interview, though. We love those guys. Actually, Brendan O'Keefe's going to try to come on here every other week or so and give us kind of a Zap update and tell us about the workouts they're doing out there, impress you with their speed. But Ira, I got to ask you, my friend, here in the Mike and Ira Show, what are your thoughts on the marathon? What's going to happen here in Boston?
I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it. Obviously, the men's marathon trials in New York was a great success. We're going to be going down there to the women's marathon trials, maybe either tomorrow night or the night after that. But, you know, obviously Dina's got to be the favorite. Even at age 35, she's just, I mean, her time right now is like 12 or so minutes ahead of anybody else in the field.
Yeah, she's good.
She's
good.
You know, she was, I think she might have been even ranked the number one marathoner in the world 2 years ago in 06. But, I mean, after that, we got, you know, a lot of age and experience up at the front. We got Elva Dreyer, we got Marla Runyon, we got, you know, people like that. I think Kate O'Neill is going to be a surprise up there. And we got Emily Levin from Wiscasset, Maine, who's right up there in the top 10. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We got a lot of women who, you know, after Dina, it's kind of a crapshoot in there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to show up.
Yeah, here's my thoughts on it. Dina Caster, clearly the favorite. She's got almost 12 minutes on the next competitor, as you mentioned. It does get thin after that. Marla Runyon, 39. Okay, she's old. I know women can compete at a later age, but 39 is 39. It is what it is. It is an old, old age, okay? And I don't know if she's going to have it. I don't know. 39, your body breaks down. You're not as fresh as you have been. Right, she is a proven runner, though. It is going to be close. After those two, okay, all the rest of the runners, the top, you know, top 20 almost are under 240. So it gets close. There's an 8-minute gap between 3rd and 20th, and all those girls can come in and just bang it out. You talked about Emily Levin, obviously from Wiscasset, Maine, one of our favorites. She's at 237, but you know what? There's a bunch of girls right behind her at 238 and a bunch of girls in front of her at 236. It is one of the more jumbled up marathons I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I gotta go with Kate O'Neill, the O'Neill twins there. They're both from Milton, Mass. That's where I went to high school, and so I'm kind of big fans of them. They're out in Palo Alto now, training out there, obviously, with that whole group. But I think Kate O'Neill's going to be, she's my second place pick here.
All right.
And Youngquist is also.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. My friend, do you have your top three? We'll play a little music here. We'll go with top three.
All right, I'm ready. Bring it.
All right, let's do this. Women's Marathon, top three. In a second here as I find a good song. Yes, sir. You got it? You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Top three,
bring
do it.
All right, top three in the Women's Marathon. Dina Castor.
Dina Castor.
Number one.
I agree with you, number one.
I got Kate O'Neill, number two.
All right, all right. I do not agree with you. I'm going to go with the number two girl out there, Elva Dreyer. She's going to do it. She's got a bunch of time on the rest. Number two, Elva.
And I got Adija Youngquist in third.
Wow, Adija Youngquist. Holy moly. I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm going to go with Kate O'Neill third. I think she's going to edge it out. What do you got? What do you got? Where do you got our main girl, Emily Levin? Where's she at?
Emily Levin, I got her, I'm going to say seventh.
Seventh? Okay. She is top 10, seventh. I'm going to have her right on this great guest. I'm going to have her 10th. And who is your surprise finisher in the U.S. Women's Marathon Trials?
Oh, I'm going my girl, Caroline Creddy. Caroline Creddy is going to be top 12.
Caroline Creddy, as you know, she will get a tattoo of us if she breaks 2:39. But I'll tell you who I got. I'm going to go with a girl, great collegiate runner. Okay, she's young. She's training hard. I'm going to go with Emily Mortensen out of Colorado. She's going to come up. I see her getting sixth.
It's a good pick.
So you're getting
I like
sixth.
That pick. Melissa White in there. I like her too. She's in the Hanson's crew.
She is the Nate Jenkins of this crew. Nobody had Nate Jenkins getting top 10, but pow pow, he was seventh.
Absolutely.
All right, this is the Mike and Ira show. We're going to go to a break here. You can check us out at letsrun.com, flowtrack.org. You can check us out or hit us up at Blogspot. Mike and Ira show at blogspot.com.
All right, welcome back. Mike and Ira show here. We're going to get into our next topic of the day. We're going to be talking about Chris Derrick and his amazing run out there.
Mm-hmm.
Chris mm-hmm. Derrick, if you don't know, he's a high school runner. He just ran 13:55 in the 5K.
Solo,
all alone. It was the fastest ever 5K time by an American high schooler in a high school only race.
Right, right.
So, you know, Chris Derrick, a pretty amazing performance. I think we got to give him his props. He's clearly, I would say, that's the top high school performance of the year.
Mm-hmm. Love that time. Kind of Jim Ryan-esque, huh? Running that type, breaking 14 minutes alone in a high school race is Jim Ryan-esque, as he broke 4 in a high school race, something Al Webb could not do. But let's talk about it here. I'm going to list through the top, I'll list top 6 5K times of all time in high school. Okay, here we go. 13:37, Galen Rupp, 04. 13:44, Jerry Lindgren, 64. 13:44, 7, a little slower, Dathan Ritz. Okay, 01. 13:52, Steve Pree. Okay, that's our fourth time. He was 13:52.8, did that in 69. Our new man. Okay, no, just kidding. He's 6 all the time. 13:55.6 would be John Zischka in 1980 for Ohio. And then Chris Derrick, would he be 6 there? And 7th would be Craig Verge in 73. That is a good list of runners.
It's a great
list. Where do you place him? Where's Chris Derrick going?
Well, 7th. That's where he is.
Seventh.
I need to place him anywhere. You just did
seventh.
It for me.
7th. Craig Verge in 8th. There you go. 7th.
I mean, I don't know. Chris Derrick, I don't know much about Chris Derrick. I'll be honest with you. I know we watched him run at a couple high-profile high school meets. He's clearly a big talent, but he doesn't receive the press that someone like Galen Rupp received. He didn't receive the press that Ritz received, obviously. You know, guys like this. So, you know, I really don't know where to put him if you want me to rank his performance other than based on time.
Time out there. This is a huge list of runners who have run this fast. Ruppy, Lindgren, Ritz, Pree, Virgin. Salazar's right behind him. McDougal's right behind him. Those are some solid people. John Zischka from Ohio is the only guy I really don't recognize there. This is better than your 2 mile list. This is a solid list of runners. And if you go by this, Chris Derrick might have one hell of a career.
No, for sure. I think clearly he's a big talent. I think there were some other awesome performances out there. Luke Piscadero, we talked about him a little bit earlier. 8:46. It's a great time for him as well. And you know, obviously, the girl who everybody's known, she seems like she's been in high school forever because she was so good as a freshman, Jordan Hesse, she ran a great race out there as well, running 10:03. She was really pushed to the wire. And you know, she's only a junior out there. So there's been a lot of great high school performances lately. And I think that, you know, it's exciting. There's going to be a great group of kids coming up. Derek's going to be going to Stanford to kind of replace some of the talent that they've lost recently, and Piscadero's going to go to Oregon and just sort of build on the a massive amount of talent that Vin and Alberto are building up out there.
Yeah. Now, I don't see his schedule breaking Ruppy's record. I don't see him breaking Jeff Nelson's two-mile record, 8:36. I do see him running very fast, though. I do see him running somewhere in the low 40s for the two-mile. And he might do some sort of only in high school two-mile record. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody's breaking Jeff Nelson's record. That record has been untouchable.
Yeah, it can't be broken. That will never be broken. But he's out there. He's fast. And we love it. And speaking of records, my friend,
absolutely.
Speaking of high school records,
we got a high school record
on the phone right now with us right now, a current, she still holds the national high school 1,000 record. She ran 4:37 in the mile in high school.
2:45 in the 1,000.
2:45, it's a national high school record.
The Bromfield School in Western Mass there.
Our favorite New England runner, Ariana Lambie.
All right, welcome back to the Mike and Ira Show. We have Ariana Lambie of Stanford University with us. Ariana just finished up her career at Stanford, finishing third place in the 3,000 meters at the NCAA Indoor Championships. She also anchored her DMR team to a third place finish in that event as well. Ariana had the honor of running the fastest DMR split in the mile with a time at around 4:34. Is that correct, Ariana?
Yes, that's right.
Excellent. Well, could you take a minute and just sort of reflect on your career at Stanford now that it's over? You've been there for a while. You've been through kind of coaching changes there and everything like that. And kind of what goes through your mind when you finish your college career?
A minute to reflect on 4.5 years.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Well, it's been, I'd love to just say it's been sweet sailing and tremendous. And in a lot of ways it has. But part of what's made it so amazing is all the hard times. We had a big coaching transition right in the middle of my time, and that was a big setback for me. But we all just decided we were going to embrace the new coach, the new program, and we ended up having a lot of fun with Peter, and Peter's a tremendous coach. So I've actually been fortunate to work with two really great coaches, and I've done a lot of interesting things with both of them, and I think I've had more than my share of successes.
For sure.
Think some of the most fun memories I've had are going to 10 relays with a couple different teams and running several different relays there, running up the rocky steps, and just anchoring the 4x15 three times was pretty, I don't know. Beyond words for me.
I've done it. I've been there. I've done the fist bump and pretended I was fighting Russians and love running up the Philly steps. Great times. But listen, you finished your life at Stanford, I guess if you want to put it that way, and you are now moving on to professional running. What has the transition been like? Ira and I here are not professional runners. We don't know what it's like. But what has it been like finding an agent? Who are you going with? Do you have a shoe contract? What's it like? What's going on?
Well, it's pretty exciting. I'm right in the process of figuring it all out right now. And I guess I've had a lot of good advice. I'm by no means an expert because I'm right in the middle of it. But
Well, do you have an agent? First start off, do you have an agent yet?
I do have an agent. I'm working with Peter Stubbs. And that's as far as I've gotten officially. But so basically what happens is you think about what's important to you, where do you want to be, kind of what do you want your professional running to be like, and then choose an agent who you think you can trust. I talked to a lot of different athletes to try to get a feel for who would be a good fit for me, and then I talked to 5 or 6 different agents.
Yeah. Hey, now, are you going to go with somebody that maybe is somebody that is an agent to one of your former teammates, or are you branched out to get somebody weird? Are you looking, or do they have a high profile athlete, like a Sarah Hall or Ryan Hall or a Webb, or how do you choose? What?
Yeah, it's a good question. A lot of different factors can go in. Peter has not been an agent to any of the athletes I know from Stanford or anything, but I talked to a couple of his athletes and had favorable impressions of him, and but I talked to a lot of people who like their agents or you know, anyway, so I found out different information there. And then you think about, yeah, what do you care about, how big your group is? Do you care about who, what types of runners are there? Or, yeah, like, do you want a really high-profile athlete? And for me, it was important to have a somewhat smaller group to make sure I had a lot of attention and just someone I got along with well. And so that's basically how I chose Peter.
Ari, what's your so what's your post-collegiate plans here? We hear you're going up to Oregon. Is there any truth to that?
No.
No, you're not.
I'm just figuring out. First, I have to figure out which company I'll go with. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I haven't decided any of that. I'll figure out which company will work best for me. That is kind of which one wants me the most, and then where I could go with that, which could either be Oregon, Portland and Eugene, both have interesting groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also Aaron Smehan's group in Mammoth in San Diego.
Yep.
And there are a lot of great girls in North Carolina, so I would consider that. So basically, it's important to me to be with a good group of training partners and a coach that I like, but I haven't decided what that is.
Yeah, you're listening to the Mike and Ira show here. This is American record holder, 11-time All-American, Ari Lambie here on the phone. Ari, you just talked about wanting to possibly go up with Terrence Mahoon. Ira and I, he's our favorite coach. And, and if we could instill anything on you, it's to go up there, because right now he's it. He's the hot coach. But we got another question for you. What is your outdoor plan schedule? What are you training for? What are your meets? What are your goals here towards the Olympic trials?
Well, I'm in the fortunate position where I don't have to worry about the college schedule anymore. It's kind of liberating.
Beautiful.
But, so really, I am just targeting the trials. I'm trying to find some meets that will help me prepare for that. I'm going to run the Cardinal Invitational in two and a half weeks. And then that'll be kind of a good midpoint assessment to see what I should run from there. I'm looking for maybe a 3K at the Carson invite. And then possibly another 5K somewhere after that.
And so for the trials, are you going to be focusing on the 5K or is it the 1500 or do you not know at this point?
As of now, I'm training for the 5K. Something could change, but that's what it looks like.
Have you hit any standards yet for the 5K? You hit the B or anything like that?
I have not hit the A standard even for the trials. My time should be fast enough to get me into the trials, but I want to run faster anyway. And I'm certainly not qualified for the Olympic A standard.
You got a lot of girls that'll be in that race. Shalane Flanagan, Molly Huddle, those are some of the top-notch girls, and a bunch of others thrown in there. What are your thoughts going into a big race like that, racing against Molly or racing against Shalane? When you have to race, you know, Shalane, who is very, very fast, or Molly, who is right on your pace, what do you do usually when you go in there preparing for that kind of race?
Oh, well, I do what I've always done. Just know that my training is solid and that I can run with, you know, the top girls. I'm not going to go after Shalane if she goes to run 14:30 or anything, but
right.
I think I'm going to look at it as a really great chance to test where I am. And to test my ability to run with the best women in the country. And I think I'll be right up there. And if nothing else, I'll learn a lot from the experience.
So tell me about your race strategy here, Ari. You want to get that trial standard. Are you just going to go after it? Let me say it this way. Here's what I'm asking. In other words, when you go into a race, especially a fast 5K, are you focused on running pace or are you focused on racing? How do you go at it?
Good question. It depends exactly on what I want to get out of the race. For the Cardinal invite, fortunately, I think both will work well. My main priority will be getting a good time. So I just want to make sure I'm on pace. But because the other women in the race will be running fast enough, I can just think about it as a race and running right with them. When you come to something like the trials, it's all about racing. But at the same time, I mean, the only way I'm going to place is if I run as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 5K, yeah, it's generally about how can I run the best pace that will get me the fastest time.
Okay, it's that time of the show, Ari, where we ask you our six questions quickly. We're going to throw at you six different questions. We want you to give us the top answers you can think of. Cue that music. Let's go.
All right, so first question. What's the cooler city, Boston or San Francisco?
Boston.
All right, the Yankees are suing the Red Sox over somebody putting a David Ortiz jersey buried in the concrete of the new Yankee Stadium. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Wait, is this true?
Yes.
I'd say that's a bad thing.
All right, Russell Brown is notorious for talking with his hands. Have you ever witnessed an accident caused by him during conversation?
Oh, I'm sure.
All right, Jay-Z and Beyonce are married. Will they last longer than Britney Spears and Kevin Federline?
I have no idea, and I do not care.
Nor should you. We hear that you're a big skier. The next time you're in New England, will you come ski Tuckerman's with us?
Sure, but don't tell my coach.
Yeah.
All right, we won't.
All right, last question, Ari. What's better, East Coast Dunkin' Donuts or that crap on the West Coast, Krispy Kreme?
Neither.
Good question. All right, Ari. Well, thanks so much for talking with us, and really good luck to you. Really good luck to you in this coming outdoor season. Hope to see you. Hopefully, sneaking in there, second or third place, maybe behind Shalane there at the trials.
Thanks a lot.
All right, back with the Mike and Ira Show here at blogspot.com, Mike and Ira Show, blogspot.com. You can also hit us up at mikeandirashow@gmail.com. We just got off the phone with Ari Lambie. That was a good time, huh, Mr. Ira?
Absolutely. She's awesome. Ariana's pretty cool. I can't wait till she comes back. I hope she does ski tucks with us. That would be a good time.
That's right.
I'm excited to see what she does.
And you can't tell me she doesn't eat any donuts. I mean, come on, Ariana.
I don't think she
does.
Come on, Ariana. I don't think she's lying to us. Ariana's pretty honest girl, so... I'm excited to see how she does in outdoors. I think she's got a real shot there at the trials.
Hey,
you know?
Quick question before we move on here. Who's she going to sign with? I'll tell you who I think. Asics.
Think Asics? I don't know about that. I think my opinion, she's going to make the move up to Oregon. She's going to sign with Nike. Because when you're in Oregon, you can't not sign with Nike.
All right, coming up now is the end of our show, something we like to call our top 10, where Ira and I throw questions back at each other and we give quick, unthoughtful, not thought through, ridiculous answers.
Yes, absolutely, and it's time to get right into those right now, Mike. All right, number one, Ryan Hall is the fastest born American born runner ever. Will Ryan Hall win an Olympic medal?
No.
Oh,
Will Lance?
God, ridiculous.
Will Lance break 3 hours at Boston?
Lance who?
Lance Armstrong.
Again, Lance who?
Will he break it? Will he break 3 hours?
No, he won't break 3 hours. I hate Lance.
Yeah, he needs the drugs. You know, you better hear. Here, he did it.
Quiz right. Question, Mike. Who won the 2004 U.S. Olympic Women's Marathon Trials?
Oh, my gosh. Dina?
No, Colleen Daruck.
I suck. God. Jonathan Riley broke 3:41. Is he getting the street cred that he needs?
He's getting more than he needs from you.
That's right, John Riley.
All right,
on the front page.
My third question here for you. The Celtics just finished with the best record in the NBA. Will they go on to win the title?
You better believe it. God, yes. Absolutely.
Damn straight they will. KG should be the MVP.
There is never a doubt in my mind that they were going to win the whole thing.
KG.
Reading for this, Rajon Rondo, MVP of the finals.
Leon
maybe,
Poe.
Yeah, maybe not. All right. Tiger's got a new Gatorade flavor. What? The whole Gatorade line. What's your favorite flavor?
I haven't had it yet, but I'm going to go with orange.
Yeah, I'm going to go with red.
All right. Who you got in this beer mile? Tim Bro versus Ryan Hall versus Weejo.
I'm going different. I'm going Ira from the Mike and Ira Show. You, my friend, are good at the beer mile.
I don't know. I think Tim Bro can throw him down.
What is worse? American Idol? Being constipated for a week.
Fiber, anyone?
Fiber, anyone.
All right, which former great do you miss more? El Guerrouj or Paul Turgot?
El Guerrouj, always.
He was the best.
The guy's leg started as nipples. He was unbelievable.
Absolutely.
All right, and the last and 10th question, which pro runner will have their last name on a shoe first?
Oh my goodness. Well, it should be Ryan Hall because they'd sell like friggin' hotcakes, but I don't know.
I would have said the Le Mans. Sign him up, Nike.
The Lopez Le Mans. I like that. All right, well, we're at the portion of the show. We're about to say goodbye to you here. We just kind of finished everything off. We're going to talk about our top and least performers, or top and flop of the week. I think I'll, you know, head out first. I'm going to have to go with Ryan Hall. I don't know how I could pick anybody else. I mean, fastest American born runner of all time, 206.17. The Africans say that he is officially in their club because his time, once you break 206.30, is officially under 3 minute K pace. So Ryan Hall ran an average of 3 minutes, under 3 minutes per 1,000 meters in the race. So who's your flop of the week,
Mike? Yeah, you can't argue Ryan Hall. He's very good. I agree with you 100%. And as the music kicks in, Lance Armstrong, my flop of the week. Trying to only break 3 hours at Boston, Lance? Give me a break. Get out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening again. That was episode 5. We'll be back with episode 6 real soon. Want to thank Zap Fitness, Caroline Cruddy, Brendan O'Keefe, and Ariana Lambie. Thanks very much for the time, guys. And Mike, I'll see you next week.
Hey, get out there. Keep training. Thanks for tuning in. Sign us on, and we'll see you then. Peace.
Ariana Lambie, and you're listening to the Mike and Ira Show.